Anyhow, let's talk about strategies for dealing with the July 28 deadline for upgrading to Windows 10. Okay? Anytime someone gives you a deadline, you have to make a decision. A lot of you will probably decide to keep Windows 7. It's a very popular operating system. It's stable. It is to the world what Windows XP was for a while. Okay? So anyhow, today's presentations are all located here at my website. I used to live in Arizona. It's very hard to give away a job once you volunteer for doing something for a computer users group. I haven't lived there for a few years, but I'm still managing their website and running half their meetings, which is all right. I don't mind. And they're a nice bunch. It's just a little too hot for us there. Anyhow, if you go to my website, aztcs.org, and if you have a tablet or a laptop today, you're welcome to go there. You click on Meeting Notes, and I'll show that to you real quick just for laughs. Click on Meeting Notes and see if I can get to it. Here's my website, okay? It's a real relic. It's an old website from 20 years ago, and I have never changed the code. If you click on Meeting Notes, you get this funky page, which we borrowed from the Mac Users Group in Tucson. There's nothing, no such thing as an original web page under the sun. In here is a stack of presentations about Windows 10. That's what I'm going to cover today. It consists of about 800 pages. I won't get to all the 800 today. Okay? If I do, let me know. And I'll probably be snoring at the end. Anyhow, the most important thing right now is that on July 28th, at the beginning of the day, Microsoft is going to kill off the free update to Windows 10. So let's take a look at see what that means. For that, I've written a bunch of presentations. First thing I want to tell you about today is Windows 10 retail pricing. It's always funny to pick apart and beat up on somebody's website because retail pricing is kind of a joke. People never describe what they're selling you in the Windows and software world accurately. I think it's just me. Anyhow, let me know if I'm doing anything bad. Every once in a while, I seem to have an allergy attack today. So I think that's the clipping you're hearing. Anyhow, Windows 10 has an activation that's different from any version of Windows prior to it. And Microsoft refuses to divulge details about it, so you have to scan blogs and experiment with it, which I have done, to find out more about it. Finally, I've written a bunch of presentations about how you can use Windows 10, install it, upgrade to it, and in general, make it useful to you. Okay? So first of all, I'm going to jump right in to the why we're talking about all this. The retail pricing of Windows 10. I'm going to make it as big as I can. And I hope it goes full screen one of these years. Okay? Windows 10 retail pricing, I just wrote this morning. It's a brand new presentation. I only wrote it because people are suddenly interested in retail pricing. Because a lot of people know they won't be going to get the free update, okay? Of course, the best way to get a copy of Windows 10 is to buy a computer that already has it on it. That saves you a lot of hassles and trouble. But a lot of us don't have that luxury. One of the biggest repairs that are done, if you go to a tech or if you try to repair a computer, is called a repair upgrade. That means that your copy of Windows, whatever copy you have, has gone south and caused a lot of trouble, and you don't want to fix it, and you don't want to buy another copy for it, and you haven't figured it out, and it's getting a little obsolete. So somebody at Best Buy or at some tech offers to help you install it. And, of course, the best deal in town is having Jim McKnight do it for you, but that's beside the point. We don't have a Jim McKnight down here where I live, and we've never had anybody that good in Arizona. I was trying to base some of the work I did in Arizona on some of the things he did. So I have left So they have nobody left there to do some of the things they used to do. Anyhow, retail pricing. And I don't have to go over again where this presentation is, right? And it's going to be a challenge to look at some of this pricing. I'm going to go over it real fast, and it's almost funny, okay? If it wasn't causing people to spend money they didn't need to. There are three versions of Windows 10, Home, Pro, and Enterprise. Enterprise is only available to the normal common man, that's you and me, and not to a big business. To us, it's only available as a freebie called the Enterprise Evaluation. The rest of us, regular folks who buy computers and Windows and software, have to put up with either the home version or the pro version. That's all they've decided to offer. And then they have a phone version, if you want a Windows phone. Windows phone hasn't done well, as most of you know. Okay, what's the difference between home and pro for us normal folks? There's a server module inside pro for doing remote desktop, if you want to get into it from another computer. There is an Hyper-V virtual machine program inside the pro version for running Linux in there, for trying out things like Linux and running other versions of Windows. Those are the only differences. For 99% of the people that I work with in users groups, they don't care about these two features. Okay? So you may not be worth the extra $60 to $80 to get a copy of Pro. Now what else can I tell you about? Read ads very, very carefully. Very, very carefully. If the ad says 32-bit or 62-bit on it, even though it doesn't say it in the ad, it is an OEM version that will marry the motherboard of the computer that it's installed on. Okay? So keep that in mind. The reason I want you to remember that is that and also read ads carefully. If it doesn't say home or pro, it will be a copy of home. Okay? I've never seen anyone accidentally sell a copy of pro when they didn't tell you what version it was. Nobody wants to make that mistake. If I find that, I'll let you know. Google the manufacturer part number or the model number to get the truth about what an ad, a misspelled ad, that's why I was not good at spelling bees in grade school, is offering. So Google the manufacturer part number, okay? Then you'll get more information about what they're really selling you. I'm going to give you an example. eBay and Craigslist are full of enterprising sellers who will sell you a copy of Windows that has an invalid product key. A friend of mine bought a copy of Windows 7 from a seller on Craigslist. And it didn't, the part that had the product key on it was ripped out. Needless to say, that copy was not worth much in terms of installing. Okay? Now, I won't like to beat up on Walmart too much, but they're the biggest seller of almost everything in the country. Here are two ads I just found this morning at the Walmart website. Now, it doesn't say OEM, but what did I tell you about the word 64-bit? See? If it says 64-bit, it is OEM. And the bottom one is a tremendously overpriced version of an OEM version of Windows 10 Professional. So that's not a good deal, okay? And the way I could double-check that was I went into the fine print on the right about more information, and I got the model number, and I searched the model number. Walmart calls it the model number on Google, and I found out exactly what they were selling. Okay, if you go through these two ads, the word OEM does not show up anywhere. But that's what you'll get. And this happens. If you go to the Staples website, the Office Depot's website, or hundreds of other websites, you'll see the same amount of missing and misinformation. So keep in mind, you've got to be careful. Beware of ads that mention non-existent editions of Windows 10. Look at this ad that I found at Walmart. It offers you a copy of Home Premium of Windows 10. No such animal, okay? Microsoft does not use the word premium on any version of Windows 10. So keep in mind that the people that write these ads get paid to be fast, not accurate. Now, here's a company that sells software at a fairly good price. I found them actually. Target Stores uses them for as a seller on their website. MyChoicesSoftware.com. If you go to there, what happened? Okay, so much for that. Now it's time for me to go to another presentation. You'll get a very good deal. Okay. Now let's go. Let's talk about the more important thing, which is what happens. What are you going to do about this deadline that's coming up? I'm going to make it bigger too, or you're not going to be happy with it. Okay. Hope you can see it. The whole idea behind deciding whether you want something that's free is to save money, because 1 second after it's cost money, the price jumps from zero to a rather high amount, especially for some of us retirees. I'm going to talk about the reasons, a good reason to upgrade to Windows 10, list the strategies. The strategies are actually plagiarized from all kinds of articles on the internet and in magazines. There's nothing original here. Okay? And then I'm going to talk about the different strategies. Let's see. If you upgrade to Windows 10 with your current Windows 7 or 8 or 8.1 computer before July 29, midnight, Microsoft will store forever up on their server farm system something they call a digital license. Most of you have never heard the word digital license. That's because it's a new term that the head lady at Microsoft just coined on the 22nd of June. It went by other names, okay? And I won't go into details because who cares what they call it, right? They've called it four different names since Windows 10 came out. And this is what it looks sort of like, as far as you're concerned. You have your computer, and it's connected to the internet, right? And it's activated. By the time you activate it, Microsoft, in their infinite wisdom, has stored the UUID of the motherboard of your computer, the edition of your computer, and the trial or full version of Windows 10. There's a trial version that's only good for 180 days, that enterprise thing I told you about, up on their server. Okay? There's a couple of things that it helps. It helps them keep track of your computer in case the NSA needs the information. Okay? So keep your mind that they have more than one purpose of storing this massive amount of information up there. Okay? Now, if they're storing all this stuff up there, this is called a digital license. New term, okay? You won't see it much anywhere on the internet yet. But it's going to be very, very big in a few weeks. Okay? And it looks like this, okay? I just made it a little bigger for people like me who don't see good. What else can I tell you about? Okay, now let me just backtrack real quickly. What happens if you buy a copy of Windows 10? What do you think happens when you install it? Well, don't guess, because I have done testing for days and hours and spent a lot of money making sure that what I'm saying is not wrong, and what I write about Windows 10 here will probably show up on the first page or two of Google when you search on the word activation and Windows 10. Just search on activation space Windows 10. Next 2 or 3 weeks, you'll see this document there because no one else will tell it like it is. Okay? But soon, everybody and their brother will borrow it from me and I won't have to worry about it. Okay? Now, what happens when you buy a copy of Windows 10? All this happens when you install it. You get the UUID of your motherboard stored up in Microsoft's server farm. You get the edition, Home or Pro. You get the trial or full version of Windows 10. And last but not least, it stores the 25-character product key up there that you have purchased. So think of what it's doing. Microsoft is tired of paying all these people in India and the Dominican Republic to answer their phones helping you activate Windows 10. Okay? So here's what happens. I've done all this, okay? You buy a copy of Windows 10, you slap it into your new computer, and it activates. And you put in the 25-character unlock key. Okay? Microsoft stores all this stuff, including a 25-character unlock key. Now, in the past, when I changed out the motherboard or the hard drive, Microsoft gave me hell, and I had to call them and go through all kinds of hoops to get an activated copy of Windows 10 Windows move from one computer to another. Now that they're storing all this stuff, when you change out the motherboard and or the hard drive, everything works. Sometimes it doesn't work right away. What I did was I took this computer of mine and I changed out the motherboard and it didn't activate right away. So I waited a couple of days and it activated. So they were out to lunch. You know, nobody's perfect, right? Then I changed out to a solid-state hard drive, which someone recommended, which I'm sort of regretting because it is not very big, even though it's fast. And also, on the same computer I just changed out the motherboard on, and I slapped, this was a blank hard drive and a new motherboard, right? And I put my copy of Windows 10, and the DVD, I didn't even get a DVD, I downloaded the ISO file from Microsoft, and I installed it, and I waited 2 hours, and it was activated. So they're storing all this information to help you out when you want to move it, okay? And if they ever detect that you're lying to them and you have put this into more than one computer, they're going to turn off one or both of them. In the past, they threatened to turn off both, so you can't get full Mother Nature, right? So anyhow, that's that. I'm not going to go into too much more detail. Strategies. You can use before July 28th, if you have a Windows 7, 8, or 8.1 product key, even if you've already used it once or twice or 10 times in the case of some of the product keys that the developers get, and you can reuse it to upgrade and to install Windows 10. This dies on midnight, on the second midnight of July 28th. Okay? So I have done it. I've used all three of these to help people install Windows. First thing I'd ask them is, do you have a copy of Windows 7 sitting around, and what is the product key? If they show it to me, we're home free. Okay? Now, the second strategy is what Microsoft would like you to do. They want you to upgrade and start using their wonderful new operating system. Okay, there's a learning curve involved. There's gotchas involved. There's slowdowns involved. There's privacy issues involved. So not everybody wants to do it without resolving some of these issues. Okay, and then the last two strategies is very popular right now that people talk about because of the looming deadline. One is called upgrade and go back. There's a go back button after you upgrade Windows 7, 8, or 8.1 that lets you about 90% of the time, successfully puts you back to whatever you had before. Sometimes it breaks a thing or two, but, you know, nobody's perfect. Now, what the people on the Internet want, all the experts, including Jim McKnight and everybody else that I talk to, want you to do is they want you to image, upgrade, and then restore from image. Those of you who know Gene Barlow and a bunch of other people realize that there's a very great piece of software called Acronis True Image, right? And it costs a few bucks. There's also a competitive but harder to use and slightly less reliable piece of free software called Macrium Reflect Free. And what happens is it does everything Acronis can do minus a few things. One thing it does do better than Acronis, it doesn't install into your computer and start popping out ads and try to sell you another $1,000 worth of services, okay? But, you know, you got to give it to Acronis for being enterprising, right? Okay, now, what else can I tell you about? These strategies, you can tell, most of you can understand that some of these strategies will take more time than others. I won't go over the details. Starting with November 2, which is way past us, right, and ending on July 29th at midnight, you can use an old Windows 7, 8, or 8.1 product key. It works just fine. When you use a 7, 8, or 8.1 product key, it activates a little bit slower than if you were to use a Windows 10 product key. But that's all right. Okay? So that's a good thing. This feature goes away on the end of the day on the 28th. Okay? So if you have a copy handy, this is the time to use it, unless you want to use it for something else, obviously. Let's see, what else can I say? Okay, here's strategy one. And I'll just, you download using the media creation tool. I've got a whole presentation on how to use the media creation tool, the Windows.iso file from Microsoft. You use that to burn a DVD. I've got a bunch of information on how to do that, okay? You use the DVD to install Windows 10 or upgrade Windows 10. And while you're installing or afterwards, preferably afterwards, you use your Windows 7, 8, or 8.1 key to activate Windows 10 and you're home free, okay? So that's not hard to do at all, at least until it expires, right? What else can I tell you about? Okay. Boy, I can't spell at all. I'll fix that. All right. If you use one of the three methods to upgrade, the next one is to upgrade. This is Microsoft's take on things. Upgrade and learn to use the darn thing. It's good for your brain cells. It also breaks a bunch of stuff that you'll have to go fix, but that, you know, you'll figure it out. I promise. You can contact me if you have any problems. All my relatives have been contacting me, so I might as well add you into to a bunch of people that I help, right? What else can I tell you about? Okay, if you upgrade and go back, you have a 90% chance of success, which isn't too bad. You can go back for 30 days. Okay, I forgot to say that in my last presentation. And if you want to go back, do not delete the Windows old folder. It's where your old stuff is stored. If you delete it, you can't go back. Okay? More than one person has done that by mistake. What else can I tell you? Okay. There's a lot of articles written about all this upgrade and go back stuff. So I've given you the two best articles to look at so you can learn more about it. Three of them. Okay? And then finally, the final strategy is the golden strategy. It's the most bulletproof. And people have been recommending this strategy since July 28, 2015, okay? I've been reading articles written by all kinds of experts saying this is the best way to upgrade and go back. If you first use this wonderful the software to image your hard drive and put the image on an external hard drive, then you can perform the upgrade. Then you can use the same image along with the Restore Media DVD, which is something that you have to boot up with, to reinstall your original copy of Windows. But if you do that afterwards, you can install, upgrade to Windows, or even do a fresh install to Windows 10 for the next about roughly 10 years on that computer. I'll bet that computer doesn't last that long. Okay? At least not mine ever did. Let's see, what else can I tell you about? Okay, create an image for this How to Geek guy writes extremely good articles. I can't seem to pick holes in his articles. And since I enjoy doing that, I generally just recommend them. Oops, that's the end of that one. Okay, what else can I tell you about? It's time to start another article. Do you have any questions?
So thank you very much for doing this. I really appreciate it. I had tomaine poisoning yesterday and I came just to hear you. I don't have it anymore, but that's important, how important I think what you have to say is. I'm a writer, and I really don't need to upgrade, but I really realize now, listening to you, that I really do need to upgrade. I like to call my Windows -1. But how important is this? How important and urgent is this for me tonight or tomorrow to go to Best Buy and get another laptop or desktop in order to be able to get the Windows before July 28th or 29th in order to have Windows forever?
If you bought it from Best Buy, you'll have it forever unless you get one of those I hope you can hear me. Unless you get one of those manufacturer's manager specials, where they're discounting the older copy, Windows 7 computers. Are you talking about grabbing one of these manager specials at Best Buy?
No, that's not what the point I was trying to raise. What I was trying to raise is I don't want to buy another laptop or a desktop. I have a 1999 computer. I have, a 7-year-old laptop. They work very fine for all the things that I'm doing. But I don't want to be left out in the cold, with an old laptop when I really should get even the cheapest laptop in order to get the Windows. And I want to know how urgent this is for me to go out and buy a laptop that I don't need in order to, in order to not be lost on the Windows upgrade. Do I need it or not? Is it not that urgent? Or is it urgent enough for me to go out and buy another laptop so I don't lose out on the Windows deadline?
Okay. If you want Windows 7, you should be able to still get it for another 6 months, right? Windows 7, it will be supported until the year 2020, but most manufacturers will not be selling them anymore because of various reasons. So it depends on whether you want 7 or 8, okay? With Windows 7, you're going to want to buy it the next 4 to 5, 6 months. If you are willing to upgrade to 8, which is almost insane for most people because of the changes that they did to 8, unwelcome changes, you will you can go for another 4 or 5 years. People will be trying to sell and get rid of them. If 10 is so close to 7 that by the time, if you get sometime into next year and the world solves some of the problems that are in current Windows 10 computers, you'll probably won't know much of a difference. There will be lots of information out on how to make 10 look like 7. Then there will be more and more of it. And there, the changes between 10 and 7, if you're just doing office and suite type work, it's fairly simple, surfing and mail and all that, will not affect you. The changes will be, you'll be able to work with me and people like Jim McKnight to solve some minor problems in it. One problem is, you can't do a lot of banking yet. You know, only Microsoft would sell you a computer where the banks won't talk to the basic browser, okay? Right now, you'd have to go locate inside it Windows Internet Explorer 11 to do a lot of transactions on the Internet until more web services and banks and websites are more compatible with this new Edge thing. But that will be solved in the next. They always solve these kind of problems within 4 to 5 months. It's just that Microsoft throws this gauntlet at you, and you've got to jump to make it all work again. It's not like that's one reason I get to write these big presentations about how to keep things working each time there's a new operating system, so like Windows 7 and 8.1 and 10, because Microsoft breaks a lot of it. Okay. And none of the things they're breaking with Windows 10 are as significant as the things they were breaking in Windows 8.1. So since they're breaking less, you may not find that much difference in terms of the use between 10 and 7. You might even like some of the new features, like multiple desktops and some of the other things that are buried in it. You never know. Most of the people that I've worked with only have one or two issues in going from 7 to 10. So I think it isn't that big a deal. Going to 8.1 has caused lots of issues. I've spent many hours with people. And for some people, it was such a big jump, we just gave up and went to a tablet because it was easier to use in the tablet mode. Okay? So it isn't that big a deal. There's a lot of people that would like to keep 7 forever, and then they will start incurring some problems with it for compatibility and all that. It probably isn't worth doing. If you want, we can have another session. I can demonstrate 10, and I'll tweak it to look just like 7 to it so that I can bore everybody. So, you know, that there isn't, as long as the start menu is back and most of the user's folders is where it's supposed to be, and program files and program files 32 is where it's supposed to be, I can work around the rest. With Windows 8.1, without the start menu, I was busy sending shortcuts to everybody and their brother just to do everything in Windows 8.1. So you're welcome to those shortcuts. If anybody has a copy of 8.1, just look for the word care package. Search on the word care package in my meeting notes. And it's a zip file full of shortcuts for people to try to replace some of the missing stuff in Windows 8.1. So keep that in mind. But it isn't that big a deal. I don't see 7 and 10 as being the kind of jump that I saw between 7 and 8. The 7 and 8 was just, I had people that had worked with computers for 20 years screaming at 8. I don't see as much screaming at 10. So my meter for screaming isn't quite as pegged to the right. Okay? So keep that in mind.
All right. Thank you. I'm very happy with Windows 7. I have absolutely no reason to get Windows 10 at all. Mm-hmm. Unless you're telling me that they're not going to support their antivirus with Windows 7 after a while. Okay, do I need to repeat myself?
They will stop supporting it around the year 2020. I don't know if you want to hold out that long.
Thank you. So by then I'll get another computer. What happened?
Well, most people are in that boat.
What happened to me is I pressed the button, yes, upgrade me to Windows 10. When the thing was done 2 hours later, I couldn't find a single document anywhere. None of the stuff that I knew was there. My photos were gone. My favorites were gone. My menu was gone. Everything was gone. So if Microsoft really wants to push this wonderful Windows 10 on people, it should be able to then move all their files to where it was before. Exactly. Because I had nothing. I almost had a nervous breakdown at 2 a.m. in the morning because I had to do work the next day on my computer and I couldn't find anything. So from what I understand, and I'm relieved to hear this, that there's no reason to upgrade to 10. There's nothing fantastic about this. Until 2020, we'll have the antivirus from Microsoft, and mm-hmm. all is well. Is that correct?
One thing that at 2 in the morning, depending on how many hours you spend in the bar, they actually... When during the update, it asks you a pile of questions, and for some reason, people answer them wrong. I don't know what the problem is. It depends on how tired you are, and it depends on how small the fonts are on your monitor. Okay, laptop monitors can have very fuzzy small fonts. They do ask you if you want to keep all your stuff, and if you click in the wrong spot, it wipes them all out.
It did not ask me any questions at all about whether I want to keep anything. There was no opportunity to ask questions. I clicked the button to upgrade, and it just did its own thing. And I lost everything. I mean, sure, it was there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. There is a possibility that something failed in your computer, and that screen did not display. But every time I've updated... And in a fairly good computer, it does ask you if you want to keep your programs, and then it asks you if you want to keep your files. And so something happened. Perhaps the screensaver kicked in or something conflicted during that part of your upgrade. That's all that happened. And the one thing that they do recommend, if you talk to Jim McKnight and others, and also read some of the articles, is they recommend that you turn off any part of anything that does screen saving or energy management before you start the upgrade, just so that your computer doesn't fall asleep just as it's asking you a question of some kind. You see, if your monitor goes into a screen save mode and it's asking you a question and you then don't see the question, or if you hit the enter key, you may answer the question incorrectly. So there's a lot of gotchas in these updates. And it's up, if Microsoft should have done a better job, and there has been a lawsuit or a few dozen for people that lost stuff, and some of it could have been prevented by them. If they were to turn off all screen saving and made it and ask you twice about whether you want to remove programs and about files and done all these things, you wouldn't have some of the disasters that some people like you are reporting. So that's one thing that where they could improve. So any other questions, or should I continue?
Any other questions? Raise your hand, please. Okay, Francis, you may continue. Oh, sorry, Fred.
Yes, sir, I do upgrade to Win 10, and I decide to go back. Is there a deadline for the go back?
Is there what?
Thank you. Is there a deadline date for the go back?
Yeah, you have to go back within 30 days of the date, exactly to the hour of the date that you upgraded. At the time that it loads the desktop for the first time, it starts counting 30 days. And so in the middle of some day of yours, you won't be able to go back anymore. It's exact, down to the second. That's what I was told. So does that answer your question?
Yeah. Does it answer your question? Fred is asking, does that answer your question? Okay, good. One more question.
Okay, now let's see what else I can confuse you about.
How long does it take to update? How long does it take to download the files? And how long? I assume you can wait until you actually install them. And then, how long does it take to install them?
How long does it take to do the update? It takes anywhere, depending on how fast an internet connection you have. To download those files, the file is to information before it starts updating, anywhere from 2 hours to 20 hours. And then the installation, depending on how fast a computer you have, can be anywhere from half an hour to 4 days.
One more question. What if you want to install Windows 10 as a virtual machine on a Mac using the Parallels software, which is presently installed with Windows 7 Ultimate?
Okay, the good news is everybody now recognizes virtual machines as if they were real hardware. So I have over 20 separate virtual machines running Windows 10 of different flavors and setups in my Mac, right, in Parallels and in Fusion. And also I have one sitting in VirtualBox. So it is not a problem. And also Windows 10 is the first version of Windows where they got together with an Apple company to make sure that on the day that it came out, it was compatible with CAMP. So that's a real plus. I used to have to wait on my Mac, which is sitting right next to me right here, up to 4 months before the Mac Apple company would accept a new version of Windows. So I guess where they dragged out this all this Windows development so long that the Mac people were able to catch it up in their bootcamp software. But there's not a problem. In fact, based on my metrics, Windows 10 runs faster inside a Mac, for me at least, for some activities, but slower for some reason for accessing the internet. So, power key and activation. Okay, if you activate in a VirtualBox virtual machine, or in any kind of a virtual machine, the virtual machine's motherboard has a UUID hardware ID, 128 bits. That Windows 10 treats it like any other motherboard. So If you, in a virtual machine, then you can play God and change the motherboard without having to become a software engineer. Right? So then you can find out what happens when you change the motherboard virtually. And with that, when you do that, Windows 10 gets very mad at you. If you did it as an upgrade. But if you bought Windows 10, what did I tell you? You also have stored in Microsoft activation servers that 25 character activation key, right? So then it doesn't get mad at you for virtually changing the motherboard. So that's how I've been able to come up with all these determinations about how it works. I can change motherboards with two clicks and get a new UUID and prove it by running some software in the Mac or in the Windows computer and then see what happens. If you upgraded it, it's no go because that's all they have up on their activation server is that UUID. If you went and bought a copy, and I'm one of the few people that ever bought a copy of Windows 10 I've ever met, that I bought it about a month and a half ago, and you use it to install into a real computer, then you jump through all the hoops to move it to a virtual machine. I think I had to do something with Microsoft and put in all kinds of codes, and they had to send me something to my cell phone. It gets real complicated. I moved it to a virtual machine, and now I can change that motherboard all I want and the hard drive, and it still lets me reinstall it. It knows both the motherboard's UUID and the activation key, and knows how to push it back into my hard drive. So there's a lot of amazing stuff I've discovered, okay, that I'm going to put on the internet and let people steal. And no one else has run these tests. No one else is dumb enough to spend $130 for a copy of Windows 10, but that's beside the point. Okay? Let me just go over a few more things. Holler if you have any questions. And holler if this gets boring. If you're upgrading to Windows 10, this is what it's supposed to show you. And I can't guarantee you that it'll show you all this if you have any energy management running or any screensavers or any other nonsense running in your computer. It's just you get this legalese, okay? And it says something about binding arbitration, okay, whatever that is. I'm not a lawyer. And then you get to this screen. This is the key screen that decides whether you want to put in a copy of Windows 10 and wipe out all your programs and all your files. And it defaults, if it's running correctly, to upgrade, install, and keep everything the way it is. I've done a whole bunch like that, and I think I've only had one failure in about 150 installs. Okay? So if you get one of these failures, you're having a very bad day, and don't go to the liquor store and buy a lottery ticket. Okay? This screen decides is to keep your stuff versus put in a fresh copy screen. I wish Microsoft would ask you twice, okay? And if this screen goes wrong and you can't read it for some reason, say you have a monitor glitch or something, and you accidentally press downward on the down arrow button and then you hit enter, your upgrade will wipe out everything in your computer minus Windows, the new copy of Windows 10. Okay? Now, if at that time you then try to go back, it probably will still let you. Okay? It sticks everything in the Windows.old folder. Okay? So that's not let you know. I've only had one such failure as referred to by that unfortunate person that told me about her experience. But since I've had it too, at least once, I know what it does happen. Okay? So it's not a non-existent problem, obviously. Okay, default appearance of Windows 10. I'm going to think about what I'm going to be doing. Three ways to upgrade to Windows 10, okay? Three ways. And these three ways are good until the end of the day on the 28th. What else can I tell you about? Cloning virtual machines. Okay. When you play with virtual machines, you can make an exact clone of a virtual machine. Then you can beat it up and do the funny things like change out the motherboard and other stuff and see what it does. That's how I've been able to test Windows 10 without having to spend a lot of money. Otherwise, I'd have to have a stack of computers like I used to own. But I don't work in that million-dollar computer lab anymore. Okay? Now, what else did I tell you about? Default background is this is called the hero image. Okay? They hired a guy who was a real hero who created this image. He's some artist. Okay? And I don't know what he was smoking, but you can see the smoke in the background while he was creating it. What else can I tell you? This background is your punishment with Windows 10 if you don't activate it. You get stuck with this background. You can't change it. That's the only thing wrong with Windows 10. If you download a copy, burn it to a DVD, and you install it into a computer, you get stuck without any personalization options. Okay? There are ways around that if you want to evaluate and try out a copy of Windows 10. What else did I tell you about? Okay, that's the new start menu. It's a slanted white window. Okay, what else did I tell you? Most of you know most of this. This double-handled coffee cup is the task view button. It lets you create multiple desktops. Very handy. I do that all the time now. What else did I tell you about? I think I'm going to jump through a lot of these, and I'm going to go get into a few other details. Okay, two ways to try Windows 10 for free. Two ways. And one of the ways is in this virtual machine I'm running in the background. I'll show it to you in just a minute. The second way, the first way is just get a copy of Windows 10, create a virtual machine, find an old computer, throw it in. Don't activate it. You won't be able to activate it probably. The second way is download and install the Windows 10 Enterprise Evaluation. It's good for 90 days, and you play some games in the command prompt. It's good for 270 days. 270 days is a lot of time, okay? So if I need a copy of Windows 10, and I'm not too picky about which version I'm running for a demonstration, this second method works just fine. By 90 days, I'm not going to be needing it anymore, okay? The whole world will have changed by then. What else did I tell you about? Then, there's two ways of running Windows 10, and I better just jump into one of the ways to show it to you before I forget. This is a virtual machine running inside my Windows 10 computer running Windows 10. It's not quite as exciting as running Windows 10 inside my Mac, in which case it would look just like this, or inside one of my Linux machines, okay? And I don't really have all these different computers. I just switch hard drives. Okay? It's much cheaper to switch a hard drive and then to buy a new computer. It's a lot cheaper, especially with the pricing of current hard drives. So if I'm in my Mac and I start up the Parallels software or the VMware Fusion software, I can then install Windows 10 into it, and it looks just like this, and it works just fine. You'll notice it doesn't say anything about not being activated, right? And if you go look at it real quick, I'm just going to show you. If you right-click on the Start menu, and you go Control Panel, and you go to System, you'll see that, whoops, this is the version I did not activate. I just slapped it in. It never activated it. And I didn't upgrade a Windows 7 virtual machine. I did not buy a product key for this particular copy. So it hasn't been activated. When do you think I installed this copy of Windows 10 into this virtual machine? On November 12th. Okay? And I've been happily using this virtual machine ever since. That means that Microsoft has decided to become kinder and gentler. In the past, if you did this, after 30 or 60 days, they would start shutting down the virtual machine, turning it black, and deleting whatever file you were working on. Okay? That's called playing hardball. Okay? They're probably the only company in the world that does that to people. And they can get away with it, I guess, on Windows 7 and 8 and 8.1 and earlier versions before that. In this case, I have barely noticed anything wrong other than the fact I'm stuck with this dumb hero image screen and other personalizations I can't do. I can't change the background. I can't change the color of the taskbar. I can't do a lot. Okay? There are ways around that. People have written articles about how to get around it. When you install it, you promise Microsoft you won't get around those kind of things. But a lot of people have made money writing articles about it. So I have one of the better articles in this presentation. So if you want to try out Windows 10 to test something, this is a very good way to go because it's exactly the version of Windows 10, driver-wise and everything else, that you're going to eventually end up with in your real computer someday when you activate it. Now, what's to stop you from activating it or not activating it? Not much. Microsoft decided to be gentler on its customers, okay? And I'll bet 2 years from now it's still running, okay? Even though it isn't activated. Now, I can't use this for anything because I work volunteer for a pile of organizations. I don't want to get in trouble. So I'm only showing it to you to show you what happens. I'm not using it for anything, okay? You can't use it for anything serious. You promise them you won't if you put one in that isn't activated. When you put a copy of Windows 10 in that's not activated, it's called being a notification status. That means they're supposed to nag you until you pay up. And this copy will probably stay in notification status for a while until I get tired of making Windows 10 presentations. Okay? I'm just going to keep running it. I won't do anything with it. I don't want to get in trouble with Microsoft. Okay? So that's that copy. What else can I tell you about? You can run Windows 10 in the boot camp partition of a Mac. Macs can now boot up Windows and some versions of Linux. See? So it's a long story, but you have to hold down the Option key to choose which partition you want it to boot to. Okay? That's something that Macs have had for about 7 or 8 years. You can run Windows 10 if you rent a virtual machine inside a cloud storage service like Amazon Web Services. When people take computer classes now, they rent a computer or a server up in Amazon's Web Services, and I'm missing a quotation mark there, I gotta fix, and then they can do all their work in the cloud and hand in assignments and everything. And it's perfectly legitimate. So who needs a real computer anymore, right? You just rent a computer. Usually it's for some silly fee like $10 a month and you, use it. So you just do it up in the cloud, but you have to have a computer that knows how to get to the cloud in the first place. See? So it's a little more complicated, but it lets you do everything up in the cloud. Okay? What else can I tell you about? Okay, let me just run through it real quickly, then I'm going to change the subject. Yeah, I have a computer running Windows 7. In there, I install a piece of a program called VMware Workstation 12 Player. It can be installed in free or not free mode. The free mode means that I can't use it for an organization. Since APCUG is an organization, you'll notice that I have activated and paid my $150 on this copy to make sure I'm not violating VMware's intellectual property rights. So I've done that. Most of you will have the word not activated or free version up on the top when you look at your copy of VMware Player, VMware Workstation. Inside the Player program, you create virtual computers. And in there, you install Windows 10 and you install any version of Windows 10 or any computer known to man. See? So that's how people now develop software and test operating systems. They do it in a virtual environment. Okay? And what else can I tell you about? Okay. This is more detailed than most of you want. There's something called the media creation tool. It's actually something, and I've got a whole instructions on how to use it. You go to Microsoft, you log in to your account, you download a file, and what else is going on? Did I hear something? Wow. I think I'm hearing a big echo. Hope that's okay. All right. Must be something I'm doing on my end. Let me turn down my volume a little bit. So all of a sudden my volume popped up on this new sound card I installed today. Let me kick it down a little bit. All right. Much better. Okay. So if you want to download a copy of the Windows 10 installation media and create it, this is how you do it. I have instructions for you. It used to be a lot harder. Microsoft just let anybody who wants you download and create their media disk. And it's also the repair disk. And it's also the re-image disk. There's a lot of things that one disk does for Windows 10. Okay? What else did I tell you about? Okay, let's go on to the next thing we can do. Okay, in general, when installing Windows 10, it's best not to put in a product key and click on skip when you ask the first time. And then when you ask the second time, it's good to just tell it you'll do it later. Okay, so I think it asked you twice. Okay, I'll do this later. See right there. Okay. If you have a copy that isn't activated, it wants you to read the license terms. When you read the license terms, for Windows 10 now, it no longer threatens to shut you down and delete your files. Okay? For the Windows 10 Insider Preview, that's the people that want to play around with the new versions of Windows 10, the beta versions, it still threatens to shut you down if you don't upgrade when they tell you to. Okay? So you're sort of locked in to upgrading whenever they tell you to. Oh, what else did I tell you about? Trying to the details on. Okay. See this article right here? And if you read it, it'll tell you about how to get around some of the problems in Windows 10 when you don't activate it. Okay? In my case, I'd still be violating the rules and subjecting my organization to thousands of dollars, $50,000 to $100,000 worth of fines. So you won't catch me doing it. But if you're in your home environment, you probably don't care. Let's see, what else I tell you about? Enterprise evaluation. I got a whole presentation all about it. It is the corporate version of Windows 10. It's got a lot of bells and whistles added. The only thing good about it is it's free, and you can stretch it out to 270 days. So sometimes I use it when it doesn't matter what version of Windows 10 I'm using. The other thing good about it is you can use it to make bootable copies of Windows 10, bootable hard drives, and bootable thumb drives that boot up another computer with Windows 10. Okay? And I use that trick sometimes when I've got to make a lot of different presentations in the same day, and I only have one laptop. Okay? So this goes through some of the screens you've got to go through, you've got to jump through in order to download a copy of Windows 10 Enterprise evaluation. And then ways to upgrade. Okay, you reserve it using the GWX icon and wait for a Windows update to send it to you. Okay. Second way, use the media creation tool. If you want to upgrade between now and the 28th, I highly recommend the second two ways, because Microsoft has been known to put you on the back burner for as long as 4 or 5 weeks. Okay, that's a long time to wait, and if you wait beyond that, the deadline, you won't get it. Okay? Media Creation Tool has an Update Now button that lets you update now instead of waiting your turn for getting it via Windows Update. And then if you use the Media Creation Tool to download the Windows.iso file, that's a misspelling there as usual, and you use it to burn a DVD, you can make yourself a DVD that can be used to install Windows 10 in as many computers as you want. That DVD does not have any activation information in it. Microsoft has never put activation information into any of its retail copies of Windows at all. Okay? The enterprise people can do it, but you can't. What else did I tell you about? Okay. Additional details. What are we got? 823. Okay. Reserved. I'm trying to see what you guys would be interested in. Download tool now. That's upgrade this PC now. When you're running the media creation tool, you get this screen. If you want to upgrade this PC now, believe you me, you will be upgraded. You probably won't be able to stop it if you click next. Okay? Most people don't recommend using it. Most people recommend creating an installation media for another PC, which is downloading a Windows.iso file, burning it to a DVD, and doing it a little slower than using this wizard, okay? I don't trust wizards. Sometimes you'll miss a screen or two, especially if you're tired, if you just got back from the sports bar, and next thing you know, you've blown away all your files and your photos and your programs. So if you create an installation media, you have a little more time. Microsoft isn't trying to push you to hurry up and get your installation done by means of their server system, their server farms. You can actually kind of walk away, kind of the way Joe and I like to work on computers, okay? Like, I used to fix four computers at a time for this one nonprofit, and I wouldn't let people in my house because I knew they'd cause me trouble and I'd make a lot of mistakes. And what happened was I would get in front of a crowd of people, I'd make mistakes, then I had to take it home and fix it slowly. So I'm not as good as in front of crowds as I am when I have time and I can drink some of my wife's herbal coffee. Okay? Most of us aren't. What else can I tell you?
Upgrade the
full version of upgrade this PC now. Option. Okay.
Francis?
I'm going to skip through a lot, sir. Ma'am?
Francis, may I ask a question?
Sure.
How much of this process do you have to finish before July 28th? I'm going on vacation the last half of July, and I can make a CD by then, but whether I can get the whole thing done before I leave is another question.
Well, if you make the CD, that doesn't count, okay? You have to finish the whole real process until the desktop loads. At that point, up within anywhere from 1 minute to 3 hours, your copy of Windows will activate. Microsoft will grab all this information about your computer, okay? And store it up there forever. Okay? It's quite uncanny. You're talking about big data when you're talking about this much information being stored by Microsoft for every single copy of Windows. So it's quite a technical feat. So it also helps keep track of you. That's beside the point. That's another presentation I might get to or not today. Okay. If you use method one, which is just upgrading, using the download, the automatic system, just waiting for Microsoft to give it to you, or if you use the second method of starting it up from the Update Windows Now button, sometimes you get this silly error message. Okay? And I don't know what that means. All I can tell you is it doesn't mean anything because I've been able to get past it every time I saw this message. Okay? So that's a mark against Microsoft for not solving this problem. And obviously when I've done over 200 of these installs, so I've got a lot of error messages to show you, right? I've gone to subject myself to a lot of stress to help people. If you use the second method to update, which is using using that button. This first method was just telling it using Windows Update to update. Okay? This is the normal way by reserving your copy and waiting around for it to happen. You get this funny message. It's the second time I tried to install it on the same computer into this virtual machine. He gave me this cryptic error message. And Microsoft got beat up for it, and I think they've solved the problem and added in some error message information. Okay? This is pretty useless to help people figure out what happened, right? Then the third time I installed it, I finally got it to work by downloading a DVD and carefully, slowly going through it step by step, okay? So the third method of downloading the DVD, the method is typical of Murphy's Law. The method that takes the most work, takes the most time, is the most reliable method. So I don't give up until I've got... Go back. Let me see if I should show that to you, the go back button. Let me see if I can get to it. Right-click and open hyperlink. Okay. If you want to go back, you go into, wow, they didn't show me how to go back. This is too hard to do. Let me try some, maybe I can get to it. I don't know. If you want to go back, you have to go to the settings wheel. That's over here You see settings in the lower left-hand corner? It looks like a kind of a busy gear right there, lower left-hand corner. I was hoping that they would have show this in the darned article about going back. Let's see what happens. Boy, that's sad. I'm getting blasted with ads. Sounds like the internet for you. Okay, if you go to settings, then you go to update and security. Update and security, that's where they hit it, the go back button. They didn't want to make it too easy for you, okay? Then you go to, and this article is obviously in my presentation, right? And then you go back to Windows 8.1. See right there in the middle, sort of? Let me make it a little bigger for you. Ah, can you see it? I don't think I'm doing a good job of making it bigger. Wow. What's happening? I think I messed it up. Now you can't, I really messed it up. Okay, you can't see it. I fuzzed it out. I made the internet so big, it's fuzzed up. Yeah. Go back to, you see where it says go back to Windows 8.1 inside recovery? The steps are, you know, a little daunting for someone who's not so familiar with all this stuff. So a whole bunch of articles have been written about it, and I've just picked one to show you. And then you click on Get Started, and it runs you through a bunch of steps, and next thing you know, an hour later, you're back to the stuff you used to have. Okay? So that's how it works. And it works about 90% of the time. I haven't had it fail more than once, you know, and I've only used it around 10, 15 times for testing. So I'm pretty happy with it. But I still don't, if it was my computer, I wouldn't use it. So 10% is bad odds, even in wages. Well, I mean, I lost wages. So I would go with a method of backing it up with a Cronus or the other thing first, or Macrium Reflect Free. Okay? And let's see, what else did I tell you about? Okay. I was going to go over a couple more things. Cloning virtual machines, okay. Privacy issues. All right, privacy issues. I wonder if anybody wants to hear about them or if you're tired of hearing about them. There must be 4,000 articles on the internet about privacy issues. Let's see. We can go over privacy issues or we can go over more about how the features in Windows 10. What else can we go into? We can go over my evaluation of the good and the bad. Let's see. Evaluation tool. Doesn't matter. Let me think. Let me just pick one. Let's do privacy just for laughs. Windows 10 privacy, separate presentation. Okay? I'm just going to hit the high points. To make a long story very, very short, I'm going to start it up and tell you what you need to do about the problem. Okay? Privacy is an issue that isn't just with Windows. It's with our whole society and things like all these websites gathering information about us, and then the government giving all that control of whatever they're gathering to a single dummy like Snowden to save money. That's called outsourcing. He wasn't even an employee. See? So by the time you're through with all this mishmash, you got some problems, okay? Let me just go over it real quickly. Wi-Fi Sense, where you automatically share your Wi-Fi passwords with everybody and their brother in your Facebook account and a few other accounts, is no longer going to be available after August 2nd. Too many people screamed about it. It'll be taken out of Windows. So that is a good thing. That's part of the anniversary update. They said, where are we getting our biggest screams? And Wi-Fi Sense was the biggest one. If in Wi-Fi Sense, once you turn it on, any computer that is related to you, because you have it on that is also running Windows 10, will also be able to access all the wireless access points that you can. Well, that means that they're also sharing your passwords, even if they're in an encrypted format, and sharing a ton of information about where you've been. It lets all your wonderful friends on Facebook and a couple of other services get into anything you want in terms of networking. Okay? That's not a good thing. It was very unpopular. What else can I tell you about? Articles about privacy issues. The biggest privacy issues was caused by when Windows 10, when they first came out with a preview, and they said, we're going to start gathering keystrokes. And then in several developer conferences, they said, here are some keystrokes we gathered from one of you developers. Let's analyze what you are doing. That didn't go over well. Okay? Developers are very private people, and some of them are hackers. And they didn't really like what Microsoft was doing to show each other, show them what some of their fellow colleagues who are paying several thousand dollars a year for the MSDN privilege to look at each other's keystrokes, okay? It didn't go over well. So Microsoft sort of retracted from it. But then when you go into the fine print on their website, see this fine print? See all these fine print things on their website? They kind of refer you to their website for most of their policies inside the Windows license now. If you go there, you'll find out they're still gathering a lot of keystrokes and a lot of things there, and gathering your voice and analyzing things, okay? And so there are people out there who are real privacy advocates who think that's pretty bad, okay? It's driven a lot of people to Linux and to Macs, which do a little bit less of this. So that's been a problem. What else can I tell you about? If you go to Microsoft's website, you get all these disclosures. And the disclosures just about let them do what they want with your use of the computer. You're better off and you're safer by not logging into Windows with a Microsoft account. If you log in with a local account, they gather less information about you and have less information about what you're doing. Okay? Let's see, what else can I tell you about? Key logging, blah, 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 inking. These are just screenshots. Okay, when you first install Microsoft, I have a whole presentation about that. When you first install Microsoft Windows 10 or upgrade to it, it tries to convince you that you should always log in to Windows 10 with your Microsoft account. Well, the problem with that is that it gives them a lot more information about you. The advantage to you is it gives you more simpler access to your cloud storage and other services, like online versions of Outlook and Office and stuff. So if most privacy advocates recommend logging in with a local account, okay? Let me see if I can figure that out. Set up local. Okay, here's a presentation all about that. I got a presentation about everything. I'm going to try to make this bigger because I want you to see some of this. If you go, and this is called initial setup with Windows 10 with a local account. This is not the default. Okay, if you set up Windows 10 and you see where it says use Express Settings, never do that. Because it gives Microsoft much more information about you and lets them give you better ads at your expense. It's using your computer, your RAM, your cache, your CPU cycles, and your bandwidth to gather information about you, okay? Stuff that you're paying for, they're using to then sell information about you, even if they call your information an advertising ID, which means they don't use your name, to an advertiser, okay? If you say customize settings, there, you can start turning off all these places where Microsoft is gathering information about you. And you've got to read everything like you were a lawyer, okay? They're trying to make every single one of these sentences sound like they're doing you a massive favor by gathering all this information about you, okay? But most of us are too crafty for that. So you can read through this presentation. What I'm trying to show you is that at one point during this installation or upgrade to Windows 10, it'll ask you, and I'm trying to get to it, you can see there's a lot of settings where they're asking you if they can collect information about this or that, right? There's tons of it. And you can think about each and every one of them as, do I want to spend RAM, CPU cycles, cache, and internet bandwidth to give this information to wonderful Microsoft? So you got to think about that. And in most cases, the answer would be no, because you want your computer to be doing work those resources for something you're doing. Like I work day and night as a volunteer for APCUG, downloading files and doing all kinds of number crunching and everything. I don't want it to be constantly sending back information to Microsoft about all that stuff I'm doing for APCUG, and they probably wouldn't be interested anyway, right? Now, customized settings, I'm trying to, these are, every one of these has an explanation in some software you can download and install. The best one is called O&O, Do Not Spy or something like that. There's in my privacy one, there's a piece of software I recommend. So go ahead and download it and run it, and it sets a lot of these settings to your advantage. Okay? Now, what else can I tell you about? I'm trying to get through all this. Then ask you if you own the computer, which is kind of nice. Now, says sign in now. At this point, it's trying to talk you into signing in with a Microsoft account. What if you, it actually asks you, this is an older version of this screenshot. It now actually says sign in with your Microsoft account now, the current version. Okay? Now, if you sign in with your Microsoft account, you have various advantages and disadvantages. But I can tell you one thing. I don't know a single law firm or medical office that allows their employees to sign in with a Microsoft account because they have standards about who's allowed to deal, to share or watch the information that law firms and medical offices and dental offices have. There's all these HIPAA, Health Industry Portability, Insurance Portability and Privacy Act, and then law firms have their own client privilege rules, right? So you can't be sharing it with a third party. This is sharing your information with a third party. So you see, at the very bottom, it used to hide it, so you have to scroll down to find it. There's now a button that says skip this step. It lets you create a local account. When you create a local account, you don't automatically log into your Microsoft account when you start up Windows. It gives you a lot more privacy and saves a lot of resources for your own use. Okay. Also, there's a million other things you can do in Windows 10, dozens, to reduce the amount of chatter between your computer and Microsoft, okay? And there is no reason why you shouldn't turn these things off unless you love them. Some people absolutely love these live tiles, okay? They sit around all day and watch them. These live tiles will have little bits of news on them. Anytime there's a mass shooting somewhere, the news one will pop up with whatever bad stuff has happened somewhere in the United States, okay? It's good to know right away. What else can I tell you about? The sports one. I've turned off most of mine, so you're not going to see anything. So I should show it to you inside the virtual machine. If you click on the start button, or if you turn on, these are all going. You notice that they're jumping around. They're getting ready to load information and try to feed me some ads. Microsoft Windows 10 has more ads generated than any all previous versions of Windows combined, okay? But you can turn all that off, and I'm very busy turning it off. I only turn it for presentations, okay? There are people that like sitting here watching this stuff, okay? There are ads, and as you can see, the news is constantly popping up different things that have happened today. And I guess our president was talking to some group, you know? And I was supposed to get curious enough to click on it. Then that ad has succeeded, okay? So anyhow, what else was I going to tell you about? Okay, in the privacy thing, there is a piece of software that I highly recommend, and there are pieces of software that people have been trying to foist on the public that are free that are actually malware. So you got to be kind of careful, okay? Let me see if I can find the one that I recommend. It's called O&O. It's a company called O&O. It's out of Germany. A lot of good software comes out of there. And O. Oh, I don't find it. Let's see. Windows 10 options, that's the wrong thing. I hit the wrong one, didn't I? Oh boy, okay, let's try again. Windows 10 privacy, there, that's the one I need. I think I'm getting C now. And then Control F, and then O&O, and there it goes. Okay, O&O Setup 10, great piece of software. There's a whole bunch of other ones. Kim Commando, I always make sure I mention what she recommends. I like Ash Shampoo Anti-Spy for Windows 10. It's also a great piece of software. Okay? She has a whole crew of people in her office analyzing software. So when they write a review, it's generally pretty well thought out. Now, if you thought it was just her and her husband doing it, her husband doesn't know much about computers, you wouldn't trust it. But this is a real crew of people that actually goes out and tests software. So I recommend both of these. What else can I tell you about? There is at least a dozen, and there's probably about two or three dozen by now, pieces of software to help you deal with your the spying done by Windows 10. It's a utility. It turns off stuff. You can also go to these lists and go through each and every one of these settings inside Windows 10. Okay, man, these two sites go exhaustively through about 200 or 300 settings. Okay, so if you need a hobby, install Windows 10, right? What else can I tell you about? Actually, it's not that bad because I'm using ONO and it sets most of them the way for the maximum amount of security. Okay, what else can I tell you about?
Francis?
Sure.
Can you take another 5 minutes and then stop and we'll take some more questions?
Oh, I can go. I can take questions anytime. I've got presentations about every aspect of Windows 10, okay? It's about 400 pages. If you can't find it in my website, and I'll just give my website again, you can call me and I'll tell you where it is or I'll write a new presentation. I really enjoy doing this. I just needed a hobby, that's all. What else I tell you about?
Okay, any questions for Francis at this time? Yeah. Okay, Francis's question.
Hi, Francis. My name is Pat, and I'm not quite as computer savvy as most of the people in this room, but I have Windows 8, 1, and I was planning on just pushing the buttons, so to speak, with Windows 10, where it says, do you want to upgrade? And just say yes and go for it. But now what I'm hearing from you is that's a lot of time involved, and if I don't push all the right buttons, I might lose something. What else can you advise me?
It's any time you make a major change to your computer, there are some risks. If you push that button and you get into that 10%, 9%, 8% that fails, you can always restore the computer, whichever process the manufacturer gave you when you first bought the computer. Somewhere in that computer, if you have never fiddled with it, is a restore partition. It's just something that's sitting hidden somewhere inside your computer. And if you need any help, contact me or Jim, and we'd be glad to help you. Your odds are good that, especially if you're not doing anything unusual, if you carefully go through the screens as it starts the installation, and your odds are very good that you'll succeed. And as usual, any time you own a computer, any day, you can have a hard drive glitch and lose it all. You know, this is what computers are, which is why I'm sure most of you are backing up everything to external hard drives and DVDs, right? I've been right in the middle of a presentation and my computer died and I go oops, and then you should have seen the reviews the evaluations I got on the presentation. It was terrible. Everybody said I was wasting their darn time making them show up and my computer died. So I had to go. So now I bring two computers to every presentation. So when it dies, they can learn about Macs.
Okay, and another question.
Sure.
Most of my machines at home are all 32-bit machines. Is it worthwhile putting this on a 32-bit machine?
It works wonderfully on 32 bits. There's a gentleman here that upgraded a real old laptop to 32 bits. Unfortunately, the laptop only lasts about 2 or 3 months afterwards, but the laptop was purchased in 2007. So it's had a lot of dollar good days. But the 32-bit version of Windows 7 works very nicely. It, like anything 32-bit, it can't see much in the way of RAM. So then you might want to play some games with loaning it some RAM using a you a hard external hard drive. There's a lot of tricks that Jim McKnight and I both know how to do to help speed up and tweak an old 32-bit computer. But it's worth doing.
Yeah, my name's Roger. I got two questions. One is I've got Windows 7 Pro. Does it automatically go across to Windows 10 Pro, or how does that work? That's one question.
Yeah, it does. And if it asks you, be sure to pick Pro, or it'll complain like crazy.
it recognizes that, though, right?
Some of the upgrades will ask you for some reason. And that's another area where you can get botched up. And don't try to put in a version that you're not entitled to.
Okay, next question is, I got maybe $1,000 worth of store-bought engineering software. Works wonderfully on 7. Am I pretty well guaranteed to work on 10? Yes or no?
You'll have to contact the manufacturer. If you're running the engineering software that my friend, the engineer who designs huge buildings and has to calculate all these shear forces, is running, you'll end up running Windows 7 for a long time, even if it's inside a virtual machine. But there's no guarantee on the more exotic engineering software. So you'll have to check with the manufacturer.
Other questions?
Hi, Francis. I installed Windows 10 over 8.1, and I installed Classic Shell, and it seems to work pretty good. I don't have to look at all those icons all across the screen. They're down on the left-hand side. What do you think about that?
The people that like Classic Shell absolutely love it. It's a good way, one of the best ways to put Windows 7 back into Windows 10 for people that don't want to deal with the icons. For new computer users, I don't think there are too many of you in that crowd, the tiles, you can set Windows 10, if you get someone who isn't too mouse and keyboard literate, you can set Windows 10 into tablet mode and give them a better first experience. The other option is to tell them to go back to junior college and take typing and mouse training classes. That's what I used to do. I used to help teach some of those. But anyhow, I'm finding out for older people and for people with some motor difficulties with learning a mouse, like my father could never learn it. He was having all kinds of strokes, that the tiles are wonderful. All you have to learn to do is to tap and to drag. That's correct. You got to spend the extra $200 to $300 for a touch sensitive screen. It's about $175 on the average dollars more, but it's a real lifesaver because let's face it. I've been teaching people of all ages, and the very young and the very old don't learn the mouse and the keyboard well. Okay, the mouse and keyboard pretty much is for the middle age group. So as soon as I found Windows 8 started coming out and people were able to tap to start things and to drag, and then as soon as the iPad came out, people were able to tap and hold. They were just real boons for people that didn't want to learn all these new skills, because almost anybody and their brother knows how to tap and hold and drag, but certainly not keyboards.
Francis, I'm sorry. I just wanted some understanding of what you mean. I have that. I have the ability to use the mouse and click on the icon. You're telling me that some screens you're not able to use a mouse on an icon to get through an icon, like the E there, for example. You use the mouse to press on the E, and it comes up the internet. Am I wrong in understanding what you just said?
I think what I was trying to explain is that if you have a real new computer user and they're already completely befuddled by everything you're trying to show them, that they're better off with the tablet interface. That's all I'm trying to say. Now, you can always change it back. There is an option inside the settings icon in Windows 10 to go into tablet mode. That puts you back into that wonderful big old screen of Windows 8 and 8.1. Now, albeit people that already knew Windows 7 and Vista hated it, right? But if you have brand new people and you want to teach something to them, and you only have a certain number of hours, trying to make them go and learn the keyboard at the same time.
Okay,
is
so what you're saying
is
the new
task.
What you're saying, just so quickly, what you're saying is the new computers may not have the capability of using the mouse to click on the icon, right? The new computers. The old computers do, right? Because I have an old computer.
Okay, one more question and then we have to end. Any other questions? Okay, Francis, thank you so much. I think we will get back in touch with you and identify some specific topics that you can talk to us about in the future. Because I think as more people become familiar with Windows 10, there are a lot more questions that are going to come up. Let's thank Francis for a wonderful presentation.
Welcome.